Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catherine Campano. Today is October 5th, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, the Chinese government issued an update to the Great Firewall on Monday to block several protocols that were being used to bypass the country's internet censorship system. GFW Report, a project that tracks changes in China's Great Firewall, said that protocols like X-Ray, V2Ray, VLS, gRPC, and Trojan have all stopped working on Monday. These are TLS-based protocols used for tunneling internet traffic via port 443 or other custom ports. Researchers believe the blocking is currently done via TLS fingerprints, which explains why other projects like Outline, which is based on the ShadowSocks technology, and Naive Proxy, which uses a Chrome browser protocol, are not affected. The move to block these popular Great Firewall circumvention tools comes 2 days after the Chinese government also blocked access to more than 1,000 Google domains in what experts have called China's greatest crackdown on Google services to date. Now moving on to news on hacks and breaches. Australian telco Telstra disclosed a data breach on Tuesday, roughly 2 weeks after its main rival, Optus, also disclosed a major security breach. However, as Telstra explained in a data breach notification posted on its website, the incident is far smaller than the Optus breach and only involved the personal data of employees the company had back in 2017, and no customer data was exposed. Now, in government and policy-related news, we have quite a few stories from the US, four to be more accurate. In the first item, the US Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency issued a new binding operational directive on Monday, mandating that all federal civilian agencies scan their networks in order to discover all their assets, including vulnerable systems that will need to be patched. Agencies must report their findings to CISA within 6 months by April 3rd next year, so CISA would have a better understanding of the nation's cyber resilience and the needed defensive actions. In the second piece of US government-related news, CISA and the FBI also published a joint public service announcement on Tuesday on the hot topic of elections and cyber attacks. The two agencies concluded that any attempts by cyber threat actors to compromise election infrastructure are unlikely to result in large-scale disruptions or prevent voting, similarly to how cyber attacks had no impact on previous election cycles. In our first story, the White House and the Office of the National Cyber Director have requested feedback from the private and public sectors on how the government should handle the current cybersecurity workforce shortage, currently estimated at around 700,000 empty jobs across the US. And last, the formal agreement to extend the Cloud Act to UK law enforcement agencies has entered into effect this week, after a first collaboration was signed with Australia last year. Passed into law by Congress in 2018, the Clarifying Law for Overseas Use of Data, also known as the Cloud Act, allows law enforcement agencies access to customer data stored on the servers of cloud hosting providers for the purpose of ongoing criminal investigations and on the basis of a warrant or subpoena. The joint US-UK Cloud Act agreement allows agencies in both countries to request access to data located on servers in each other's territories for criminal investigations, albeit law enforcement agencies will be able to request the data of their own citizens only. Moving on to cybercrime-related news, Sébastien Vachon Desjardins, a Canadian national who worked as an affiliate for the NetWalker ransomware operation, was sentenced on Tuesday to 20 years in a US prison. This marks the suspect's second prison sentence after receiving a 7-year-old sentence in Canada last year for the same crimes. In news services advertised on the cybercrime underground, Indian security firm CloudSec said it spotted ads for a new DDoS-for-hire service named Attack Manager and two OTP 2FA bypass services named Generally and Apollo. Of these, the latter is particularly interesting because it can use the Google Voice service to call a victim using a spoofed identity, claim to be an online service, and trick victims into sharing an OTP code they recently received after the threat actor tried to access their accounts. In addition, in other news from the criminal underworld, in a very interesting report from Trend Micro, the company's researchers said on Monday that they uncovered a new threat actor. Named Water Labu, this group has been hacking into cryptocurrency scam sites operated by other groups to replace the scammers' wallet addresses with their own and then collect victim funds and scam the scam site operators. This Tuesday, we also had an interesting report from cybersecurity firm Signia, which said that it linked the CheerScript and NightSky ransomware strains to Emperor Dragonfly, a threat actor based in China. You can hear more on this topic from Itai Shohat, Signia's Director of Incident Response and Threat Hunting.
Signia's incident response team investigated a ransomware attack where a threat actor deployed a CheerScript ransomware while using tools and techniques that are associated with the Night Sky ransomware. We call this threat actor Emperor Dragonfly. The story begins a few months ago with a compromise of a VMware Horizon server using Log4Shell. Once the threat actor decided they want to escalate their operations and work manually within the network, they deployed CobalStrike and moved laterally within the network. The tools that were used in modus operandi are attributed with the Night Sky operators. In parallel to these activities, three tools were deployed by the threat actor: a keylogger, a proxy tool, and a tunneling tool. These tools tell us a story on the possible origin of Emperor Dragonfly. They were developed by Chinese developers for Chinese operators. The proxy tool, as an example, can be leveraged to bypass the Great Firewall of China, the government's tool to restrict and regulate internet access. In the final stages of the attack, the threat actor distributed the CheerScript ransomware within the network. In our case, both ESXi and Windows hosts were affected by the ransomware. Signia's team researched Emperor Dragonfly and discovered that the group often changed the ransomware payloads. In the past year, the group used various payloads, all shared core similarities, including Night Sky and CheerScript. In addition to that, in contrary to other common ransomware groups, Emperor Dragonfly carries out the entire attack process, starting from initial access to encryption. They do not operate in a ransomware as a service model, and they do not purchase access from initial access brokers.
Moving on to new malware strains discovered over the past few days, German security firm DCSO published a report on Maggie, a new backdoor Trojan its researchers have been firing on hacked MSSQL servers. DCSO says that besides providing threat actors with access to the compromised servers, Maggie can also be used as a proxy to relay malicious traffic and can also launch brute force attacks against other MSSQL servers. According to researchers, the vast majority of infected servers are located in South Korea, India, Vietnam, and China, but compromised servers are also located in many other countries around the globe. Moving on to APT and cyber espionage related news, the NSA, CISA, and the FBI issued a joint security advisory on Tuesday warning about APT campaigns against US defense organizations. Besides providing a warning of past operations, the advisory was also accompanied by technical indicators from past intrusions, and the three agencies specifically mentioned the attacker's propensity to use an open source tool named Impacket to gain initial foothold inside organizations, and then the use of a private tool called Covalent Stealer to exfiltrate data from the victim's systems, both tools for which organizations should look into adding detections. As for news from the vulnerability and bug bounty space, security firm SonarSource said it discovered a major vulnerability in the infrastructure of Packagist, the backend repository for the PHP Composer package installer. Researchers said the vulnerability allowed them to hijack the package's backend and mount supply chain attacks against the service's users. SonarSource said the package's team fixed the reported vulnerability within hours of their report. As for some niche news from the InfoSec industry, this week we had an update to the Mitre attack framework, which added support for campaigns. Microsoft also released Sysmon version 14.1, which included protection against data wiping malware. And NCC's Fox IT team also open sourced a new project named Dissect, which is a modular Python framework for enterprise-scale incident response and investigations. These are all the news for this podcast edition. Closing the episode, we have David Cottingham, CEO of Airlock Digital, this episode's sponsor, who will now go into the finer details of how Airlock recently shifted from Linux drivers to a driverless agent for its Linux OS customers.
One of the biggest challenges in performing endpoint protection on Linux-based operating systems is the need for a kernel driver in most cases. You need a kernel driver because in order to get low-level system visibility into certain events, that's typically the only way that it can be done. And we ran into a number of challenges with the first iteration of the Airlock agent, where we were developing kernel drivers for specific sort of mainstream kernels. And then there was an announcement from the CentOS Foundation that they're moving to a sort of stream model where they're going to be updating kernel drivers all the time, in front of Red Hat. This really prompted a change in thinking internally in the company, where we just realized that it wasn't practical to actually deliver kernel drivers for every single version of the kernel that all of our customers are going to be running, because it creates a headache for us because we need to compile lots of kernels for everyone. And it also creates a problem for customers because they need to continually ask us for new versions of the kernel drivers or be subscribed to some sort of feed where they have to obtain, redeploy, reinstall all the time. It just wasn't practical. So we did a lot of research and realized that in more modern versions of Linux, there's a kernel callback called fa-notify. And for allow listing, which is what we do here at Airlock, we only need to be notified about the files that are being sort of read or executed on the system. And file access notify, or FA notify, provides us that. So we've done a lot of engineering over the last few years in order to tap into that callback. And now we're actually able to perform allow listing on Linux, as long as it's in the last 10 years, really any operating system flavor without a driver, which allows you to patch, reboot, and you run the whole operating system without actually reinstalling the software, which is really, really cool.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.